Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm good. Bridget and I just trudged 3/4 of a mile each way to go to the grocery store because we can't get our car out of the driveway. So
yeah.
I'm a little out of breath.
Did you take pretzels?
Able to exercise in the last several days.
Did you take pretzel?
Pretzel did not come. But pretzel is becoming quite the pro at going outside in the snow, considering how he was a few days ago when as soon as his foot touched the pavement, he was not interested.
Just quite the experience on the fly for Pretzel here. We appreciate that. Adam, we played some audio earlier in the show today from David Poyle. He was on with Darren Donick and Chase yesterday and talked about, you know, the team and the future of the franchise getting close to the point where it's at a crossroads. What do you think the immediate future looks like for the Predators right now, and how long this season is left for them to dig out of this hole before, if you're the Predators, you've got to seriously start considering what the future could look like?
I really think they have until the end of the month, and they lost 2 games. Well, they did not lose the games, but they lost the ability to play 2 games earlier this week because of the weather in Dallas. And the NHL just announced actually that the Stars' next game tonight against the Lightning has also been postponed because of the ongoing weather issues. So the Stars will not play tonight either. But I really do think they have a couple of weeks to really figure out what they want to do. Because when you consider the issues at hand when it comes to making trades this season, between the financial landscape of the NHL, to the quarantine requirements, for players, if a player were to be traded from Canada to the United States or vice versa, they have to work sooner than right up to the deadline, which is April 12th. So I really think you look at, I don't know how many games they have left this month, 9 or 10 maybe. That might be too many. One of you can tell me if I'm wrong. But I really do think that by March 1st, depending on what this team does, I think management needs to have a clear idea of how they're going to proceed, because you don't want to act too late, if the season, begins to slip away.
I think Rex Road may have left
this. He's on mute.
For this.
Gosh.
How many times?
I got to the last half hour. No, this is right. The first time, guys. I'm so sorry. I think, you know, I was thinking about poor little Pretzel out in the snow. And,
He's got his little sweater on. He's okay.
Was it like a little Duke basketball sweater?
No, it's not. It's just a red turtleneck type sweater.
Okay, good, because Duke sucks. I don't know why I had to get that shot in, too.
All right, I have to go, guys. Thanks very much for the time.
Hey, but don't worry, because Drew Brees is retiring. All your sports teams,
you're really
Adam.
Pushing it. You should go back on mute right now.
So, look, like, we're going to talk. I mean, look, you are doing pieces on you know, on trade possibilities, on what things could look like in the near future, or not so distant future, I guess, if things keep going this way. But let's pause for one moment. Is there a path to this going the other way, to this particular team as constructed, as assembled on the ice night after night, changing that back around? Do you think it's too late for that right now, 15 games in?
No, I do not think it's too late for that, but it goes back to what I was saying before. So I pulled up the Predators' schedule. They have 1, 2, 3, 4. They have 6 games left this month. So assuming all of those games are played, that will leave them with, what, 21 games? So we're nearing, you know, the halfway point of the season. So maybe it's not – the end of February, maybe it's after the first week in March, because in the first 3 games in March are home games, 1 against Carolina and 2 against Florida. So maybe it takes up until that first week of March. But if we get to the halfway point of this season and the Predators have not made up significant ground in the Central Division, to get back into the playoff conversation, then I think you might have to pull the proverbial plug. But we have seen crazier things in the NHL. I mean, the Predators could run off a 4 or 5 game winning streak. You know, am I confident that they can do that? I don't know, but it's possible. And if, you know, and when you consider the fact that every game in this division, of course, is a 4-point game because all you're doing is playing teams within the Central Division, you know, a 4 or 5 game winning streak holds more significance than in a normal season where you might be picking up those wins against teams outside of the conference or outside of the division. So am I nailing their coffin shut today? No. But if things don't get better in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I might start hammering those nails.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Adam, as Joe mentioned, you come out with a piece that targets some trade possibilities that the Predators could have if this continues to go this way. And look, we hear the noise. We've seen it on our text line. It's all over social media about fans wanting to blow this thing up and rebuild. If that ends up being the route that the Predators have to go, how much of the core group do you think would be, you know, moved at that point? Because I kind of approach it this way. Like, I think if that happens, you need to move some core pieces around, but you also don't need to move like every core piece around. You've got to have some players that are still here and give you a chance to win moving forward. How do you approach that if you're the Predators?
Yeah, that's the difficult thing, because we have seen various styles of rebuilds. You look at perhaps what the LA Kings have been doing recently. You know, I think back to the Washington Capitals close to 20 years ago, the rebuild that they had before Alex Ovechkin was their number one selection. We've seen the Blackhawks sort of retool on the fly, the Rangers retool on the fly. It's hard to pinpoint exactly which blueprint the Predators might need to follow. But you're right, Robbie. You can't just – the idea of blowing it up, like, I know that's how we just talk, but, like, that – it's a lot more complicated than that. And I do think that if this team continues to struggle, it will be time to dismantle the core. I feel like they've done everything but that. I think this past offseason, they basically gutted themselves of their secondary players, Nick Bonino, Craig Smith, Kyle Turris, Austin Watson. But now I feel like the core group, which I constitute to be, you know, Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, Matias Ekholm, and the top four forwards, the high paid forwards, Duchesne, Johansson, Arvidsson, and Forsberg, give or take a player or two. Those players are the ones that might need to move, in order for this to get in the right direction. So for me, like I wrote in this story, which basically we talked through this story last week on the segment that we had. And I basically just put it into writing. But, you know, for me, the first core member of this team that I feel like would need to go is Matias Ekholm. And it has nothing to do with how he's playing or the type of leader he is, because we all know how important Matias is to this team's success. But in terms of the contract and in terms of the interest that he would probably get from around the league, he might be the easiest player of that core group to move. And I think you could get a decent package back from him consisting of draft picks and or prospects. So that's what my argument was in the story yesterday is, you know, it will be hard to move players that you like. And that's one thing that fans need to understand about a rebuild. You are going to lose players that you love. Like, that is what happens. Like, those players are not exempt from this. I mean, Roman Josi is the only one because he has full control over his career. But everybody else, you know, has either limited or no control. And if this team wants to seriously change course, this is what they're going to have to do.
But it's interesting because your plan really leaves most of the core intact. Like you said, I mean, Ekholm is an obvious attractive piece in part because of his contract. And certainly there are some teams out there who need defense help, but you mostly keep it intact, I guess, other than the idea of finding some way for the Kraken to come in and help you out.
Yes, and to be clear, the article I wrote yesterday was just what I think should be the first step of the process. It's not, this is all they need to do, and then, you know, that's it. Like, this is the first step of the process, which would be you know, moving all of the veterans you signed this summer on one-year contracts and potentially someone like Matthias Ekholm. And then that process continues in the offseason. But the first step I feel like needs to take place in season, and that was the point of my article, was these are the players I would move in season to start the process of reshaping the roster.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Schrode. Adam, great stuff as always, brother. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, guys. Stay warm. Pour, you know, bathe yourself in Axe body spray or something so you don't stick up the radio station.
Absolutely. We appreciate it. We'll do that. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Adam had to say there and talk about the plan that he's thrown out there at theathletic.com on what potentially the Predators could do later this season. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Schrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.